Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, my team and I are talking all things Halloween, as well as giving you some sex advice that you can use all year round. Topics include dates, role play, and erotica, oh my. Make it the sexiest Halloween yet. Refractory periods, how to lessen the time between rounds. Saving your sex life. What to do if you never have a chance to be alone. And what's the deal with vagina steaming? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com, which is actually an extension of the show with useful information to help you out. You can also find us on social media. It's at Sex with Emily, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, across the board, really. Wherever you are on social, we're there. Same with our podcast, you guys. You could find us on Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, and of course on iTunes. We love when you comment and subscribe on iTunes. It's fabulous. It makes us so happy, right, team? I'm here with my team.
It does.
Yay. Hi, Jamie and Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. We are here today to talk about many things that could help your sex life and help you this month of October, which is the Halloween month, right? Like, you go into the stores and all of a sudden you're like, really, already? Like, there's the... You know, the candy corn and the paper, you know, skeletons and whatever happens. Mm-hmm. So we want to make it, but also Halloween. I think that's what the paper skeletons remind me of, one called Seymour Bones that my friend's dad for years used to send us in college, one of those paper skeletons mm-hmm. that you hang up, and we would call it Seymour Bones. And I had a very emotional attachment to him. So anyway, aww. We do a lot of bunch of, aww. And when we're kids, it's like the best time of year. Mm-hmm. Halloween's so exciting. Yeah. And then you get older and you're like, oh, I got to go out. I got to dress up. And for many women, you know, it was like, oh, I want to dress something mm-hmm. really sexy, something really out there that we might not wear other days of the year. So we're going to talk to you about how to maybe find something sexy or something that actually feels true to you and kind of have a dual purpose. What are you guys thinking about Halloween? Anything yet? Anything on your radar?
I don't know. I just like this time of year. I love scary movies. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like I have like an extra excuse to watch them during this month. My dad makes the house look really, really cool for Halloween.
You're one of those homes. I love those homes.
That's he used to do a lot more when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And now that we're like both me and my brother out of the house, it's like just these pumpkins, but it's like a really cool display of pumpkins. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know, it's fun. And I do like dressing up. So.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, so we've got some, anything with you, Sarah? How do you feel about Halloween?
I like Halloween. It's fun. I like to do spooky things. Pumpkin carving's always cool.
I like pumpkin carving. Yeah. We could pumpkin carve.
Oh.
I was thinking that. I got one on my, there's a politician in my neighborhood who every year drops off a pumpkin. Like I got a full-blown pumpkin.
That's cool.
On my porch. And I was going to bring it to the office. I thought we could make use of it.
We should. We'll carve some kind of like vibrator into it.
Something. We could get clever. We certainly could. But when we're adults, you know, you still can't escape it. Halloween's around, and I like it. I like going to a fun party and with friends. But I think there are some cool things you can do if you're in a relationship or just dating or even with your friends that could be fun adult Halloween activities. Haunted houses. Do they have fun haunted houses in L.A.?
Yeah, there's a lot. In L.A., it's cool because you can go, if you want to, you can go to Universal Studios or, you know, you can go to Six Flags or Knott's Scary Farm, as they like to call it. Universal is probably the best because it's movie quality.
Right.
So those are always really fun to do.
Oh, you can go there and see a movie?
No, at Universal they do. It's called Haunted Horror Night. So the park closes at like 6 p.m. and then it reopens at night. And it's like they have like people dressed up in movie quality, like monster scary type things. It's not for the people that are faint of heart. Like literally it's very like people,
it's
chase,
like real,
you. People
right.
chase you with like chainsaws and like things. And they don't touch you. So that's like the thing. If you're scared, the thing to remember is they're not allowed to touch you. It's literally just to scare you. And you go on these mazes. So you walk through these things and they're like movie themed. So there's like Friday the 13th or there's like this year they have Stranger Things. Or it's fun.
Okay. That
but there's
like
also
a fun
just
thing.
Random Halloween haunted houses around.
What I like about that is because we always talk about how couples who do something like that sort of produces a lot of adrenaline with each other can be like a fun event, like skydiving. But you don't have to skydive. You could see a scary movie or go to a scary themed event. And that in turn can enhance your connection. Funny enough, being scared out of your mind with your partner is like a connecting experience.
Yeah. And I feel like if you are really scared and your partner's really good at comforting you, that's just like a good thing to know in general for other things.
And then if your partner's the one running with their eyes closed, you know, and not comforting, that's also a good thing to know.
Right, because then you're like, okay, like if this was a real situation.
Exactly. If there's a real thing going down, now I know. Gary pepper spray, for sure. Okay, what else? We got our pumpkin patches.
Yeah, there's some like tame things. It doesn't have to be scary. Like pumpkin patches can be fun. Hay rides, things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just going to a Halloween party to dress up.
Well, you know what's funny, though? When I was in college, back up, it was not sexy. Like, sexy Halloween is, like, a newer-ish thing. I think that we were more being judged around, like, you'd be judged, I think, or it just wasn't a thing. Like, you wouldn't walk around half naked.
I didn't know that.
In the 90s. No, it was like, I should bring in, because now that I'm going through the garage and cleaning out, I was a crayon one year. Like, I was wearing all blue, and then I had, like, made, like, a blue
cardboard, you know, hat. Like,
that's so cute.
Yeah, like I was a crayon. All my friends were crayons, like the five of us. That's and cool. Then one year I was a bumblebee, like I was in a black velvet thing, like nothing sexy.
Okay.
It just wasn't like that in the 90s.
Which is funny because they do make sexy bumblebees.
Well, now you could be a sexy bumblebee, but we were not sexy. I was not sexy. There was nothing sexy. There was no skin bearing. Like it was just not a sexy time in that way. I thought I was cute and attractive maybe at the time, but no. Sexy Halloween is probably in the last 15 years.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, that was not, but right. We all like, but I, what I like about this is dressing sexy is not to do it just to do it. Just because you're like, okay, I'm going to go find the sexiest thing I can. I'm going to wear no clothes. I'm going to wear these thigh highs and some bustier, but you don't really like feel like it's you. You're just doing it to go out maybe and be sexy. But I think it'd be fun to find something that actually speaks to you in a sexy sense, because it could also be a great gateway into like role playing. Like I love role play, and I think that role play is effective for so many people and so many couples, but there's a huge barrier to entry. Like people are like, I wouldn't know how to start. It'd be weird if I showed up as the mailman one day. Like how do I just show up and do that? So I think if you are in a relationship, like I just, after I was reading this, like I texted my boyfriend, I'm like, let's dress up together, because I think that can actually be fun to play it together. Yeah. So
you go out to a party as a couple's costume, and then you come home and you keep on partying, but in the bedroom. Yeah, I like that idea a lot, because then it's like for the people that are like, well, I don't want to just like go out and get like a costume of some sort for no reason. And not that role play needs a costume, but it makes it a little bit more fun. And so this is just kind of like your excuse. You're like, okay, like we can get into this kind of role throughout the party in a sense, like, because people are like, oh, I knew what your costume is. And then you go home and then you're like, okay, let's continue this. And it doesn't have to be this like super elaborate, like great sketch, I think, either. I think people put too much pressure on themselves for role play.
No, right. If you're like Dr. Patient, you could be like, I feel my forehead. I have a flu coming on. You know, it's like done. You're in. Doctor. I think that people just realize once they get over that hump that it's actually really fun kind of step outside yourself.
Let me take your temperature.
Let me take your temperature from behind. Oh, okay. So that's just some, it's another fun way. If you're just going to sit home and you don't feel like doing anything, you're like, oh, it's annoying Halloween, but just maybe even something sexy you already have, like just go out and do something fun.
What would your ideal couple's costume be?
Oh God. Now I know I've been thinking about that, like, because I'm trying to think of what my couple's costume would be. Maybe since we went to Greece this summer, some kind of like Grecian goddess or something.
Ooh,
be
a Greek god. Aphrodite. Because
I, yes, yeah. Exactly, Aphrodite. Mm-hmm. And so funny, side note, being Greece, like you'd meet someone, she's like, hello, I'm Aphrodite. Like I'm, you know, they'd have all the, you know, I'm Pegasus. Yeah. I'm like, really? You are all you people? So yeah, that's maybe I would do, since it's also thematic. What about you guys? What would you do?
Oh, for a while I've been thinking about like doing a Catwoman/Batman kind of thing, or even Wonder Woman kind of thing. And then you get to like play with that idea of like light BDSM, or like, I don't know, it's an excuse to do something dominating and play with leather.
Yes.
So,
nice. Play with leather. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I'm not really sure. I haven't, like, this is going to be like my first Halloween where I have a partner. I don't think we're going to be doing a couple's costume either. But I think I always thought it would be really cool to do. And I know this is kind of like cliche in the sense of like the Friends trope, but I think it'd be really cool to do like the Leia and the like Princess Leia and the bikini thing, though, with like Han Solo.
Yeah. What do you mean Friends trope? They did it on Friends?
Yeah. Like Ross. It was like Ross's like fantasy to have. Fucking, what's her name? Shit. I love this show.
Rachel?
Rachel. I can't even believe I did that. Shame on me. Anyways, Rachel dress up as it, and then she does, and he's like, almost can't even do anything because he's so taken aback by it.
Yeah, like some kind of fantasies that you both have, right? Like dress up, like that would, I could see that happening actually if you're really into Star Wars or something. And if you're not into costumes, you can still role play if you don't want to go out and buy a costume. You can just make up your own scenarios. It's really just about acting as if you're someone, having a dialogue that you're someone else.
Yeah, just like the thought of it. It's fun. Like I'm not super into the, I like lingerie, but I'm not super into like coming into a character kind of sense. But I do like the idea of like, you know, someone comes into your room, it's like this sexy stranger, but in a sense, like, it's like an intruder, but it's like gives you that sense of danger, but it's like fun.
That is fun. Yeah. Danger, master, slave.
That could be cool too, if you're like want to kind of test the waters of some BDSM aspects, mm-hmm. do a master slave type situation.
Yeah.
Like your only purpose is there, like if you're the slave, like your only purpose is to serve their pleasure, and it's kind of hot.
That is hot. That's a great scenario right there. There's also some Halloween fetishes you may never have heard of. This might inspire you in for Halloween or for life.
That is cool. I didn't even know that there was like Halloween
themed, I know. Here you go. There's spectrophilia. And this is a paraphilia in which a person experiences sexual attraction to and sexual arousal by ghosts, spirits, and specter figures in mirrors. They get really into this fetish and they claim to have sex with ghosts.
I mean, if that's your thing, that's super cool. I just wondered, like, how do you even know that you're having sex with a ghost? Like, how would that feel? Would it just be really cold? They get erections when they're spirits?
You can't really get your hands around them either, right? Not a lot of cuddling with a ghost.
Like, do you think it just kind of fills your body as a spirit, and then really like know. You have an orgasm?
Yeah, maybe. Like the ghost did maybe have that orgasm. It says it's because humans have been obsessed with understanding their place in the world and life after death. And per the nature of fetishes, you know, if it exists, in the case of ghosts, if it doesn't exist, a human can develop a sexual interest in it. So we just kind of get our brains link up something and then eroticize it. So ghosts, why not? Clowns, I found this interesting. Mm-hmm. Coulrophilia, a lot of people freaked out by clowns, and it can get kind of hot. So this involves sexual attraction to clowns, mimes, and jesters, just to name a few.
So it'd be my nightmare.
So there was an evil clown epidemic that was all over the news.
Yeah, the people were like just coming out of forests.
See, now I have one just reading that. Now I'm afraid of a scary clown. So I'm not into that.
But if you are, it's cool. It's just, oh my gosh, no.
Are you afraid of clowns?
I mean, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them now. But when I was younger, I was terrified of clowns.
Yeah, same.
And I just remember going to my neighbor's door on Halloween. And he was wearing a clown mask, but he was doing like a double-headed clown mask thing. Like it was two people and it was scary and he was walking really weird and I freaked out and I like ran away. And he like, the neighbor felt really bad about it, but I'm like, I'm, you know, 3 years old. Right. It's like traumatic. I was like, what?
Yeah, you got like the big feet and the big nose. Like who decided that clowns were cool for kids anyway? Yeah. Like there's nothing, they're just fun. I think they're more for adults. Because as a kid, you're like, what? Like, I like that you're blowing up a balloon and stuff. That's the fun part. You know what? They blow up balloons, clowns, and things. They people would hire a clown to come to the bar. But otherwise, they're scary. The big feet, the nose. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Things. Yeah. Okay, there's also, what else? Domination. This is another one. Halloween, lots of costumes involve dominatrix or submissive characters. It's the perfect time to experiment with this fetish. Very 50 Shades of Grey. And we know that there's so much out there that you could get for something kinky, a la 50 Shades.
Yeah, when I'm fetish, down for that.
Latex.
That one I'm down for.
I'm down. Mm-hmm. You know what? I could be like a Grecian goddess, dominatrix, perhaps. I like combining things. Yeah. Like for many years, I was Queen Midas. And say like everything I touch turns to gold. I was all gold, even though it's not a thing. I like being like princess and queens. It was gold. Maybe I'll bring it back.
You could be like instead of wearing like a white toga, it's like a black toga.
Yeah, but leather.
Yeah. Ooh. I have all these things. Latex. I do at home. People send. I think I'm gonna.
That's awesome.
You should.
I know. Hot. I should. It is hot. Okay, I'm really excited now for Halloween. Okay, exhibitionism. So we all know people are wearing less clothing on Halloween, but if you're into exhibitionism as a fetish, it's the perfect time to do it because it's about getting a reaction from an unsuspecting person seeing you naked, which is not necessarily consensual, so which is why this is better as a fantasy. This is a really common one, people having sex in public or going to play parties and wanting people to watch them having sex in or even in their backyard because it kind of like, unless your neighbors are looking, but just this thought of like that you could get caught.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you guys have any of that in you?
Yeah, I haven't ventured into that in quite some time.
Well, now you've like 16 roommates. You could just do it in the living room.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not gonna. I have had sex with other people in the room,
right.
And not right. Like cared.
Got it.
So
okay.
not
just
that
an
I'm,
idea.
Yeah.
but I like this idea too. I do exhibition. That can be hot and fun. Having sex with pumpkins because they're shaped like buttocks. They're good for carving holes into. They're firm on the outside. They're squishy on the inside and have a hard phallic stem. Jesus, everything's phallic. You can find phallic in symbols and everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess it's like squishy. Yeah.
I can see, like...
That's why you're bringing the pumpkin to the office?
Well, no. Now I'm not bringing the pumpkin to the office. Like, now I don't want to come back and it's all mashed in because somebody had like, sex with the pumpkin. I'm like, I just wanted to make seeds. Now I can't. They're tainted. Like, what happened? No. Hands off my pumpkin. Hands off my free pumpkin. Okay. However, the smell of pumpkin...
Good transition.
It's not just penetrating a pumpkin that turns people on, but the scent of pumpkin. I think that's true. Pumpkin candles smell good. Nice. The smell, though, of pumpkin, blindly selling it. Ooh. Mm-hmm. So the smell, according to one clever study, had men blindly sell different scents while measuring their penis growth, marking their arousal, and they found that pumpkin, when combined with another flavor, was the biggest turn on. To rub pumpkin spice in your body.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe there is something to this like pumpkin spice craze that takes over during this time.
Exactly. Like Starbucks has their pumpkin thing.
And they're really wanting you to get it on.
They drag it on until December, right? Like even after.
Probably. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Well, they're a business. They're like, people love these pumpkins. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I'm obsessed with quarterly or like for holidays is Cadbury eggs. Like, I get excited when Cadbury eggs come out. And every year, it's a little sooner. Like, April's is Easter, but they come out in, usually, like, February, like, right after Valentine's Day or during. Mm-hmm. And they're just, I used to stock up on them. And the day of Easter, they're on sale. And you can get them for, like, anyway, I love that.
No, they're really good,
actually. But pumpkin's good, too. I'm cool with that. So, basically, we're just saying have some fun with it. You can't escape it. Like, I feel like, and you know what I love that we're talking about this now is because... I think even last year, I don't remember what I was doing. I was like, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm busy. I'm not going to go out. And I realized that it's just something fun. It's something different, whether you're in a relationship or not. You know you're going to be going to a party or going somewhere, or even if you go to a fun movie. And it's a night that most people are like having fun. They're on board. They're getting outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. They're acting as something else, as someone else. And it's just, it's fun. Like you're letting go. And I think a lot of us are high strung, uptight, anxious, much of the world right now. And if you can just kind of let go and have a good night and then turn into something sexy, when you're like deliberate, intentional with what you decide to wear and present, it could be a whole different kind of evening and maybe come home with some Milk Duds or something.
Yeah.
Love Milk Duds. They're my favorite candy. That and Cadbury eggs, gotta say. Okay, moving on. These are the messages most likely to turn people off from dating you. I mean, it makes sense that this is a whole art now, and there's a whole theories and philosophies behind texting, because it used to be like, what do you say on the first call? Like, what are you going to talk about? Should you call someone? No, no one's even calling. It's like the messages. It's all about the text messages. So here's six things most likely to put a potential date off in the early stages of dating. But before I get into this, can you guys tell me, have you ever been in a relationship or things are going along with someone new and you're like, oh God, no, not that emoji or not that text, I'm done? Like, what, is there anything in your mind that you think that could really piss me off if someone texts that or said that or just maybe excite you either way?
Yeah, I mean, it really does kind of depend. I think, one, you have to get used to someone's texting style because everyone is different as far as texting. But my main thing that when I pay attention to texting that has been like, just, I guess it wouldn't be like one specific image or different thing. I don't like when someone uses too many emojis. Like, if they're always, like, emojis are for specific things and it should not be in like every single text, and then it just gets too much, and then I'm like, what are you really like, what are you masking here?
Right, exactly. Use your words.
Yeah, I'm very into the using the words kind of a thing.
Right. Anything? You're pretty good, Sarah?
With things that I don't like as far as texting?
I don't know. Yeah. Is there anything that you're like, we could read some of these, see if they jog your mind here. See how these make you feel. So these are the six things most likely to put a potential date off in the early stages of dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, receiving just one answer to a number of questions asked in a previous message, 40%.
Rude.
So like, but that is rude, but let me understand this. Like, what if you were like, hey, hope you're having, you know, how'd that meeting go last night with your boss? So I was thinking this weekend, maybe we could go to the movies. Are there movies you wanted to see, or maybe get some dinner? And she's like, meeting was great with boss. And like, that was the end of the, like, you don't answer the other questions. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's what they're saying.
You're avoiding the questions that you actually, or is it that you're busy and you don't have time to answer? I don't know.
I mean, I think it depends. I think when this one, what they're saying is like, if they were like, hey, are we still going to your friend's house next Saturday? And if so, like, what do I wear and what time are we going? And they're like, we're going at 6. And that's all.
Oh, that's annoying. And then you're like, well, what do I wear? Where do they live? How long's the commute?
Because then you have to repeat yourself, which is annoying. Mm-hmm. And then also, I just think this is annoying. I don't care if I'm dating you or anything.
That's
like,
just annoying
answer
in
my
life.
Questions,
no,
please.
You're right.
I would like that.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, receiving too many messages is the second largest offense here. 35% of people. Too many, like a barrage of texts. Like, you wake up, you had a great date, and like, am I going to see you again? It was really fun.
I think this could be two different things also. It could be one, receiving just too many messages in general before you've responded. And two, some people, that's just how they text. So it kind of depends. Like you, like I said, getting used to people's texting style. So they're just like, it's something that could have been in one text
that
they sent like four.
My friend used to do that. And ding, 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 ding. Oh, each word was a...
Yeah, and especially if you're on the phone and you're doing something else and it keeps popping up and you're like, oh my God, it's getting so annoying. Like, so...
I think that's a good point. I think it's good to be mindful around your, like, I don't do this, but I would like to be more mindful about, okay, no, but think about it beforehand rather than just like, oh, and this and this and this, and just kind of think about what you're going to say and then text it along. It's not too many. Cheesy selfies, 34%.
That would be weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I've had guys send me cheesy, like we've said before, I think that women are just, a lot of us, we know the art of the selfie, we know the light, we know how to do it. And I think guys sometimes, they're not, like, they're okay, I've been on the apps, the swiping, and you're like, really? Like, you could have, you're in your hat and sunglasses and your back's to me, like, what, they don't know, or they all have their earbuds in, so just like, you know, cheesy selfies, a random cheesy selfie. What is it, like, bodybuilding? I don't know.
I think it's like, hey, I bought milk. Like, cool.
Right.
It's nice to know. I don't know. I think this is also maybe, and I'm just speculating here, if it was like one cheesy selfie, that's fine. But if you're like always sending me cheesy selfies, I'm going to be like, okay, this is kind of weird, bro. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So taking too long to reply to messages, 33%. Will you hate when people take too long? I know.
It depends. It depends, because I sometimes take a long time because it depends. Like, I get it. Like, when you're doing something, you're busy, you see it, you're like, I'm going to get back to it. You don't get back to it. Or you're busy and you're like, I'm definitely am going to get back to it and get back to it. But if this is constantly, if you're constantly taking forever to respond to me, I feel like you're doing it on purpose. And right. I don't like that.
I think in the early case, okay, so I have to remember that we're talking about the early stages of dating.
Yeah.
So in the early stages of dating, if you're into somebody, you're going to text them back. Like, we all have our phones with us 24/7. And so I have to think that unless someone's working like in the emergency room, or they're flying, you know, doctor in the emergency room, or they're flying somewhere, but even then you can text, and they have a pattern of like waiting a few days or a few weeks. The message that anyone would get is like, you're not into it, or you're dating a bunch of other people. In which case, I wouldn't say just bail on that person, but have a conversation and be like, for me, what's important is like to hear back from you. And like, right, don't wait like 6 days. It just feels bad. It does. Mm-hmm. It's disrespectful. If you're into someone, like I do that with friends, I don't text them back, but they know. See, they know my texting style. They know that, like, I'm not going to hear back from her. Like, I might need to call her. I might need to send smoke signals, and maybe she'll get back to me. But when you're dating someone, like, text back. Poor grammar, 32%.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Right.
And in my cases, everybody that has had poor grammar that I used to talk to, they were terrible people.
Oh, really? Look at that. So bad people, bad grammar.
Maybe. I don't know.
Wow. Interesting. I never heard that one. So poor grammar. Yeah. Yeah. That's tough when like the there and the theirs, they get those wrong. Using pet names such as bae or babe.
Not in the early stages. Not in,
don't prematurely babe me. Like, if we went on one date and you're like, hey, babe, I had a guy do that once. He rang the doorbell and it was our very first date. I was in San Francisco and he rang my doorbell and he's like, and I was like, I had an intercom. I'm like, hello. He's like, hey, babe, I'm here. I'm like, you don't even know me. Oh. You can't babe. And then he babe me all night. And then I said goodbye to him at the end of the night and that was it. He could babe the next one. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Okay. Top five most off-putting emojis. The poo face.
I like that face.
You do see?
I don't know about in early stages of dating, I guess. I don't know.
I don't
know. What context is
exactly,
the poo face?
Exactly. Like, why are you sending me the poo face? Like,
right.
Are that, yeah, this, I mean, it's an interesting one.
Yeah. The aubergine.
Which is the eggplant.
Oh, why don't they just call it eggplant?
Apparently, aubergine is the color.
Oh, 17%.
I had to look it up.
I think it's funny, but I get it. The devil smiling, 8%. These are off-putting. The arm muscle, 8%. A lot of guys do the arm muscle. They're like, I had a really good day, arm muscle. Like, I'm strong.
I don't think I've ever had a guy send me that. I think it would be off-putting, though. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, like, I'm out there doing things. I'm like, ugh.
And be like, we can do it too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Rosie the Riveter, but I'm a dude. Okay, the stick out tongue wink face.
Yeah, I feel like
I don't like that one. That one creeps me out. My friend Mary sends it to me all the time, and she'll just be like, that was funny. Like, Mary, that creeps me out, and I don't know why. Anyway, that's a friend. Okay, used to flirt. These are the top ones used to flirt, which I agree with. I feel like these are the top five. The blowy kiss face, the blowing kiss face. That's, that one's pretty like benign. Like, I do that to friends. I do that to lovers. Yeah. The love hard eyes, the winking face, the lip kiss, the stick out tongue wing face. So 13% like it. So other people think it's off-putting. You never know. Just so you know.
Yeah, I feel like people put that, whenever I think of the stick out tongue wink face, I think of someone like saying something kind of snarky and then putting it. That's what that's it makes what me it think of.
That's what it is. No, so that's what Mary means, because she's not doing it to be like, she'll say something funny. She thinks it's a funny one. And then I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
It's all about the crying laughing emoji. That's my favorite
one. That is the best one, because that just says it all. It really does. You're like, this is a funny thing. I mean it to be funny. Or I love when someone does it back to me because I was so funny.
Exactly. Right?
I love earning the crying face emoji. So happy. I'm like, I've had a good day. Our work here is done. I've been funny. One more thing I want to add is about texting styles in a relationship when you're dating someone. I think that these days there's nothing wrong with saying like, hey, just so you know, I don't often get back right away. Mm-hmm. Or, it's so much easier to pick up the phone, or during the date, super busy, or like just because text can also be misconstrued, right? You can think that, I mean, I've heard from so many friends, like, what do you think this person meant by this? I'm like, probably that he's going to the store and we'll see you soon. Like, what else could that mean? But people are like, but he said soon, and you know, just all these things. So I think.
No, I agree. It's like everyone has a different texting style. Like the guy that I'm seeing, I had to ask him. Just because of he's very short in his text messages. But sometimes I feel like, I don't know, and maybe I was just also just feeling needy at the time. But I asked him, I was like, are you annoyed? Like, do you think it's annoying when I text you? And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't know. Cause sometimes I've text you something and I think it's like really funny. And you're just like such a dry response or just like a ha. And I'm like, not even a ha ha. And so it's like, to me, that makes me feel like I texted you and you're like, oh, what is she saying now? And he's like, no. Like, that's just, you know, that I'm not very like a right. texter. And I was like, I guess. I was like, just add another ha.
Or add the crying face emoji.
He doesn't do any emojis. No, he's crying? Never once in his life, I don't think, used an emoji.
Okay. Got it. Well, I think you're right. I think that's a good conversation to have, though, and let him know. And he was like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, clarify.
Yeah, I did that too with Ben. He would always send me things all day long that were funny and interesting and lots of texts. And I was like, I just can't. If I'm texting all day, like, I can't get back to you. So I finally said to him, I said, are you cool that I'm not going to text you? Like, he's like, oh, no, I didn't even remember I sent those. I was just, it's you do you. So it was like a really good, now I see text from him and I don't always feel like, oh, I got to get back to him. I'm like, he doesn't, and he'll just keep, it's fine. So be clear. You guys, bottom line, the more we can communicate about these things, the better. All right, you guys, let's move on to some emails. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do we feel about that? Let's answer some questions from the people. Thanks, everyone, for emailing us, and thank you for supporting our sponsors. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Okay, guys, on to emails. I am on with Sarah and Jamie. Sarah's the newest member of our team. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
This is fun to have you here. Thank you. Jamie just celebrated her 3 years at Sex with Emily yesterday.
I did. And it's been a wonderful 3 years.
Just want to say, dude, and Michael has been with us how long doing sound? 2 years. I mean, this and Ken, 3 years almost. Like, I'm just telling you guys, it feels amazing to have such support and such an amazing team. It was a dream of mine to someday build a team that was actually people that I look forward to working with, that were smart and creative and brought so much and were just as excited to Sex with Emily as I was. And that has happened. So I'm grateful.
Thank you to my amazing team.
Yes.
This is so fun. Okay. So now on to your questions. I love answering them. So if you want a question answered on the show, text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Fill out the short form. Check yes if you want to be called. Or go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click Ask Emily tab. Include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, who wants to read the first email?
I'll do it.
Go ahead, Jane.
Okay, so this is from Anne, 37 in New Jersey. Hi, Emily. My husband and I are working on marital issues in counseling. One thing we've discussed is not enough frequency in our sex life. I've started listening to your show, masturbating more, and we've had good sex recently. Now I feel turned on every day. Only my husband said he can't perform that often. He needs a few days to recharge. Is that normal?
Okay, good question. So first of all, I want to say to you, Anne, I love that you're masturbating more and that means that you want more sex because sex is top of mind. So I think that's great. So your husband, on the other hand, he's saying that, you know, he's just not ready. So here's the thing about the refractory period in men, unless you're like, you know, under the age of 22 or 25, many men can just keep going again. The refractory period takes a lot less time, meaning the period in which he can get an erection again. So after orgasm. So he might not be saying he's ready mentally. I'm not so sure. You're 37. He's probably about the same age, I would think. Technically, he should be able to go again, but maybe if he really feels he can't, like if we're talking about number one, that he can't get an erection, like he's like, babe, I want to have sex every day, but I can't. Well, then that's something I would say he should go talk to his doctor, get his hormones checked. I mean, men at 40, like when they hit 40, their testosterone does take a nosedive. And I don't think there's nearly enough information about hormones, the hormonal impact on men and women and the impact on sex drive, which is something I'm personally delving into so I can start to bring more information to the audience. So that could be one thing. If he's taking a few days, you know, that is a little bit longer. So I would say get his hormones checked, and then you could still, I mean, if you still want to connect sexually, it doesn't have to be penetration. There's a lot of other ways you guys can connect intimately.
Yeah.
You know, sex without penetration, oral sex.
All that stuff. He is saying that he says he can't perform that often and needs a few days to recharge. So, or it could be the refractory period, but I think you're right. It could be also mentally. Maybe he just has like a lower sex drive. So it's not just that he like physically can't get an erection. His sex drive is lower, which so you just kind of have to think about wait, because like maybe, you know, she's like, hey, like, how about you just go down on me, or can you right. at least hold the vibrator for me, or whatever, and he's just like not into it.
Right. Well, that's a good point. There might be some other things going on, because typically he probably can get hard. But what I think is also for men, a lot of times when there's a lot of stress or anxiety, especially around money mm-hmm. or their career or their job, that's going to have a direct, it's like a direct link to their penis. They're like, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I can't feel, I'm not into sex. So if that's going on, that could also be it as well. But I think that if you guys talk about it, and you're like, hey, listen, babe, I want sex more frequently, what can we do together? And I think some of these intimacy building things, mm-hmm. massage could really
yeah.
help. Okay. Sarah.
Yeah.
Why don't you read the second email?
Okay. This is from Sean 30 from Australia. Hi, Emily. What is your opinion on sex workers? Is it a good way to scratch your urges if you don't have a partner? Thanks.
Okay. Sean, my thought on sex workers are, you know, that's a personal choice. It's a personal decision, and it's definitely not for everybody. So just make sure if you do see a sex worker, you know all the necessary precautions, that there's someone that they're, you know, they're tested and there's no abuse going on and it's all consensual and all those things. I'm wondering if there's something going on with you. Like, I'd love you to scratch that itch with somebody, you know, with someone that you actually like, someone that you know and that you could build a relationship with, unless that's something that you're not looking for right now. If there's not a place in your life to kind of build a relationship or to meet somebody. I think it's a real way to do it. Like, you definitely could hire a sex worker and you could have sex, and then temporarily that itch would be scratched. But what happens for a lot of people is they go to see sex workers and then they want more and more and more, and it could become sort of a, I don't think it's often just a one-off thing mm-hmm. for many men and women. It's a way to have sex without intimacy, without emotions. And so I'm just wondering if this might be something for you to look at right now about you, Sean, and what you really want, and if there's things that you want to work on for yourself to be able to build a healthy relationship with someone. But I'm not going to judge you, you know, if you to go see a sex worker. I mean, people do it all the time, but you're young, you're 30 years old, and, you know, I think it'd be great if you could find some lasting connections with yeah. people that,
I mean,
you know.
It kind of just depends on, really, I think, like you said, what that's for. Like, if you can just, like, if you just do it once and then you're like, your urge is scratched and then you go and find and meet someone, that's great. But if you're trying to look at it as an alternative to meeting people in general, mm-hmm. I mean, that's still your decision, but you shouldn't give up on just trying to find an actual real connection
right.
after a while. Like, don't make it become like a huge, huge habit. But, and also I like that you brought up that it's consensual and there's no abuse going on, then mm-hmm. make sure that it's like the sex worker, she or he, whoever you're trying to look for, mm-hmm. is someone that like is doing it by choice and wants to be there.
Right. Exactly. So all those things, you know, under consideration, Sean. So yeah, go ahead and scratch that itch once, maybe see how it goes down, but then kind of turn the lens towards yourself and see what you might need to work on. Mm-hmm. Okay. I could read the next one from Shannon, 22 in Pennsylvania. Emily, do you have any experience with vaginal steaming? I recently heard about this and want more information. How to get into it, what spices to use, if any at all, what products are needed, etc. Does yoni steaming live up to this hype? Okay, it's funny because vaginal steaming or vagina steaming did sort of come into the, you know, press, I think, with Gwyneth Paltrow. And Goop. Mm-hmm. I think she talked about sitting on her throne. There was like a throne and she got her vagina steamed. And, you know, apparently it depends on what they're using to steam your vagina. It's controversial because anything that you put inside of your vagina, you got to be careful. We don't know what herbs and spices, and you can Google it. And there are some ways to like do vagina steaming at home. But there are lots of things that could impact your pH balance. But there is no scientific evidence that it works. Like, it has all these claims that like it could help with hormones and improve fertility. And I don't know that that's true. It could, again, anything that you intentionally are doing to your vagina. Here's what I like about it. If it's like a pretty innocuous place and they're not blowing a bunch of stuff up you and you know it's clean. Focus on our vaginas and our vulvas, since we're so disconnected. And you're like, I'm going to do something special for myself. And I'm going to put some steam up there to increase blood flow and, you know, and just kind of feel better and feel like I'm connected because I can feel some action going on down there. Like mm-hmm. that could be helpful, mm-hmm. but not because you think that you're somehow disgusting or don't smell right or there's something wrong with you and that you need to go clean up. But I think if it's a way to connect spiritually, it's fine. But I've heard mixed things about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I personally would want to do it. I just feel weird about having, I don't really like having a lot of like heat down there. Like if I use, like I like to cool things down. Like I like using ice cubes. I like using like cooling lubes and clitoral gels and stuff like that. And yeah, I think you would have to really research what they're blowing up there. Right. I guess.
But I think that if you're doing it at a reputable place, like I like the V-Spot Medi-Spa, it's in New York, and I know they do vaginal steaming, and I love these women, and they know what they're talking about. They're like queen Vs. So if you want to try it out, I would check that out, or check out their website, see what they use. But, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt you, but I don't think it's going to be the answer to whatever you're seeking. Jamie, you can do the next one.
All right. This is from Tim, 51 in Indiana. Emily, great show, and I look forward to listening to them every week. On the Differently Disabled show with Andrew Gerza, a 27-year-old virgin guy from Kentucky wrote in about having insecurities around having a small, flaccid penis. This is a huge issue for some men. Guys are not erect all the time, and many men, myself included, do not like our penises being seen while it is not at its best. It's especially the case when we are growers and not showers. I know that women do not think about penis size nearly as much as men do, but as a man, it's hard to think that a woman will laugh at us or leave us if they see our small, shrunken, flaccid penis. How can we, as men, overcome our insecurities? I read somewhere that 85% of women are happy with their male partner's penis, but only 30% of guys are happy with the one they have.
Well, I think just knowing that stat clearly isn't enough, Tim, because you just read, like, you understand that 85% of women are happy with their guys' penises, with their male partner's penises. So you already know that, and you know that men aren't happy, so you have all the data here. So I think that there is a lot of, there's a lot of stigma, there's a lot of talk and emphasis around penis size, but I can tell you, because you're asking basically how can you overcome your insecurities, and I really think the best way to overcome your insecurities is to truly be vulnerable. When you're with a partner, you could even like say something. You could even be like, I know when it's flaccid. Look, I mean, I think that when we're vulnerable and we're real about our biggest insecurities, I think that's how you overcome it. Other than that, or you just kind of keep telling yourself and like looking at your penis, and when you're masturbating, you got to look at my penis. I love my penis. Like that's, it's all these messages. It's really just falling in love with your penis and sharing your insecurities with others, like, and having confidence in yourself overall will help with everything.
When you're in your next sexual experience and you're confident in yourself regardless of your size, your partner's not going to notice that at all. And if they do, there's something in themselves that they need to work on, because if they're going to be rude at you and throw that at you, that's something that's on them.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, seeing somebody grow is really cool.
It's hot.
Like, it's hot.
It is hot. Like, to me, so the reason why we were talking about this on the show, and it sounds like you're saying, like, on the Andrew Gerza show, we were talking about it, but you still didn't, it sounds like it still didn't resonate with you. And so I just think, yeah, the good points here, like the the women that you're with, if she's like, oh my God, it's so flat, like, that's not your chick. That's not your person. Because it's true. Like, I've never in all the penis, and I've seen a lot of penis, I've done a lot of research, and I've never once been like, oh my God, his flaccid penis. Like, it doesn't even register.
I don't know any female friend or gay male friend that I have had that has ever been like, that guy's penis was so small when it was soft.
Right.
Because also, like, what are you going to do with a soft penis?
It's right.
Like, what am I going to do with it? Besides try to get it hard, and then when it's hard, it's bigger. And even if it wasn't, it's like, you know, it's not all. It's just crazy how much pressure we put on the penis itself. And it's like just same thing. Women have insecurities about their boobs or their stomach or stretch marks or whatever.
We all do.
It's like, you just kind of like bear through it.
Right.
Eventually, you got to love yourself. I like how you said, look in the mirror.
Yeah, look in the mirror.
And just kind of like really.
Look at it and be like, look at my hard, beautiful penis. And myself, is that what you're saying? Look at me when you're masturbating. It's really hot, you guys. I think we downplay the importance of like watching ourselves have sex, even when we're masturbating or with a partner. Like, it's really hot when you see what your body can do and just like learn to like fall in love with your own, with your penis right now. Like, that's what it, and once you love it and you're with someone, you're gonna be like, you won't even be thinking about these things. Like, you're just not with someone right now. And so it's so easy when we're not with someone to think about all the reasons why someone won't love us. Like, it's just literally the way our brains are wired. Unfortunately, it's not like, you're so great. That's why I have my show. That's why we all have each other and therapists. Because I think our brains, just evolutionarily speaking, we're evolved to think about what's wrong so we can protect ourselves from the environment. So we have to constantly be thinking of what's wrong because there could be a wild boar coming in stealing our family. So do we see something, you know, and eating our kids?
I love that.
No, but seriously, like there could be something happening in the wild. And so we have to constantly be, is our roof going to fall in? Are we going to have enough water for the kids? And so that is why we are adapted towards finding what is wrong. And so we can keep flipping. And those are our own stories. And they're not necessarily true. So we're here to tell you flaccid penis. Well, it's a thing. It exists like a flaccid balloon. Like I'm not looking at a balloon that hasn't been blown up saying you will never blow up to be it. You will not be a good looking balloon. Like I would never give that to anybody, you balloon, you terrible balloon. Like I didn't even try to blow you. Like it's just the same. So
yeah, and most guys I think are growers and not showers.
They are. Do you remember that Seinfeld when he's like, I was in the pool? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
when George gets out of the pool and there's this girl he's dating and she sees him out of the pool and he's like, I was in the pool. Because so he also gets shrinks in the pool. Okay, so I think that's enough flaccid penis for the day, you guys. We love your penises way more than you do. We just want you to catch up with us. Okay, you want to read the next one?
Sure.
Sarah.
This is from Carly 32, Orange County. Emily, I'm a divorced mom of two little boys, 6 and 3. I got divorced just over a year ago. 3 months ago, I went on my first date in 10 years, a mutual friend of several other friends who I had never met before, and we've been casually dating ever since. I actually really like this guy, but when we see each other, we go out, restaurants, bars, concerts, and all different things. We usually end up spending 48 to 72 hours straight with each other, going out, hanging at each other's places, movies in bed, everything a couple would do. But then we won't text or call for like a week at a time. Then another 48-hour session. This seems to repeat over and over. I haven't dated in 10 years. Is this a new normal thing? Or is this just one dude? For all I know, he could be dating other people or no one. I want to enjoy the ride and be chill, but I really enjoy this guy. Do I just accept that this is how it is and let things unfold naturally? I would like this to turn into a more exclusive relationship, but I refuse to be that girl who asks all those questions. Help, I would love to know your advice on what to do.
Okay, Carly. All right. So first of all, I get it. When you have been dating for 10 years and you popped out now and like everyone's on the apps and there's texting, like it is a different world. So yeah, there are some guys that are like this, that just kind of want to hang out and not text, but not all guys. So I don't think it makes you like uncool to bring it up. You've got two kids. I'm sure you're a single mom and you've got a really busy life. So when you see this guy, like you can only make time for certain people in your life when you have kids in a full life. I think that you have to let him know what you expect and what you're into. If you guys have been spending a few 72 hours together a few different times and then you don't hear from him, I think it's totally okay to say, like, oh, okay, listen, so love these weekends we're spending together and let's talk about what else we're doing. Like, are we in this exclusively? Are you seeing other people? I just think we have to talk about it. And if this isn't okay with you, he's like, yeah, of course I'm seeing other people. Well, then you know. Like, I think right now is when you have to ask these questions and find out. Because if you haven't discussed it at all, he might be wondering why you're not contacting him. He might be wondering if you're seeing people on the weekends that you're not together. So I think just saying like, this is really fun. What are you looking for right now? I'm having a good time with you. Are you looking for a relationship? You get your information by asking the questions. But I wouldn't say this is normal. I say this is typical. Like it can happen with certain, some guys are like this, some women are like this, and some are more like, hey, let's nail this down. When am I seeing you again? Mm-hmm. So I think it's across the board.
Yeah. Don't think that you have to hide how you feel and what you want to seem like you're cool and chill, because then you're not, you're doing a disservice to yourself
and your kids.
Carly, you have to know like what weekends are planned, what days you're going to see him. Like it's just not as loose for you. And it is cooler to, I think it's actually cooler to be like, hey, so what's, I used to think that I used to think, I spent a lot of time thinking about or not wanting to be needy. I mean, I really wasn't needy. The truth is, I really was busy and independent, but I was not the one to be like, what's the status? Or I was like the cool girl. And just because I just never, it was always my biggest fear to be that needy person. But now I realize, like, in different stages of life, that it's actually just makes so much more mature. Yeah. And mm-hmm. there's no game playing. There's no wasted brain space wondering what it all means when you can just find out. And the good thing about asking someone, what does this mean? What's our status? Are you seeing other people? You find out right then and there so much about the person, the relationship. If they're like, no, oh my God, I'm dating 10 people. This is not, then you know, then you're out. Mm-hmm. So you just find out. Like, I wish I would have known better communication skills early on, because it just really helps. Like, because there are things that you think, oh, I could never.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You're sleeping with someone. Like, why could you never ask questions?
Exactly. Makes a lot more sense. And then you know, like, you're in or you're out.
Exactly. Okay, the last one. This is from Alex, 24, in Los Angeles. Hey, Emily, I love the show, and it makes for an insightful car ride every day. So my girlfriend, 23, and I just finished college, and our sex life was amazing. We share a strong connection mentally, emotionally, and physically, and shaking the sheets was more frequent. Now that we're back home, we have yet to have sex, and it's mostly because we don't have a private place. But she sees getting a hotel or going on a weekend trip as tacky and a waste of money. Not to mention her grandma is a major cock block. Oh, those grandmas. Because it is improper for a lady to be alone with a man if they aren't married. How can we get our sex life back on track? Well, I think, you know, I understand the grandma. There's a lot of parents and grandmas that they don't want their kids. They don't want them sleeping with someone else. But I think, first of all, a weekend away or a night away is not cheesy at all. Mm-mm. A long weekend.
That's fun.
That's the fun part.
It's tacky, I guess, in the sense of, like, you're doing it just to have sex. If that's how you feel, for me, that still sounds like a great weekend, just to get away, just to have sex in a new place. But it could be just like a fun thing. You go into a new environment, you guys are going out and doing, having fun, and then you go back to like a hotel room to have sex.
Right. Like, that's totally, even if it's like a whatever you can afford.
Yeah.
Or an Airbnb, you could probably get a room for a night in LA. Like,
yeah. And if you're truly from LA, there's so many camping places and cool places you can go to.
Yeah.
There's like this little spot in Refugio where you can see the Milky Way and the stars at night.
Ooh.
Like, why not go there? And like, you can bang under the stars in the Milky Way. That's kind of hot.
Creative.
Yeah,
that's cool. I didn't even know about that.
That's really fun. Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. I think that you guys could have, get creative here, and also ask friends if they want you to house sit, dog sit, cat sit. I think people also, like, on Craigslist or wherever, they're always looking for people or friends. So put it out there, like, I'm way willing to do that. And then you could have sex in someone else's bed.
Yeah.
Not mine, though.
I guess plan around, like, when people are going to be home. They can't be home all the time. Maybe the grandma
is.
But, like, you know, there's got to be, out of the two places that you have, sometime when someone's not home, you can also just, I don't know, like, if you're up for it. Because this is the thing. The alternative right now is no sex at all, which is obviously not fun. So try sex in public. It might not be as, like, amazing. It might have to be quickies, but
legal, but you could get away.
It's not legal, but you got to be smart about it. It's not legal necessarily, but
or in a truck if you got like an SUV in the back.
Yeah,
like, I've done that. Like, down. Like, I slept in a boyfriend's SUV. I don't know, we were camping. Like,
yeah,
put some blankets down. Mm-hmm.
Just gotta get creative.
She should be part of this talk with you too, and not just shooting things down. So maybe you guys could brainstorm together.
Yeah, because also the only other thing, it's like, if she's like not coming up with ideas, like, there might be some other issues that you don't know about.
Right. So you guys in the same town? Is she in LA as well? Is she seeing other people? What's the deal? I don't know. We don't know. Make sure it's important to her as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier that way when you both have the same goals for sex. Okay, guys, that was fun.
It was.
It's already over. All right. Thank you so much to Jamie and Sarah and Michael and Ken, who's not here. Thanks, everyone. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.